Father, thank you for the reminder that you're always faithful. We can look back at our lives and see that your hand has always been upon us. And we thank you, Lord, that even through the deep valleys of life, that you've been there with us, you've helped us, you've sustained us. And so we give you all the praise for where we are and who we are in Christ. I pray today as we look into your word that you would remind us of our responsibility as children of God, that we're to be diligent and disciplined for the sake of godliness. Lord, that we're to lay down our lives for one another. We're also to take up our cross and follow after Christ. And so I pray, Lord, you'd give us endurance and strength and wisdom and all these things, Lord, so that we might walk in a manner that is worthy of who we are as children of God. We thank you, Lord, for this last year and what we were able to accomplish by your grace and your mercy upon us. And we pray for this year, Lord, that even more your work would be in our church and through our church, and that we would see more people come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord, would you help us with those that we know? Would you help us to be diligent to point them to Christ through our actions and through our words and our attitude? And Lord, yes, intentionally sharing the love of Christ with them. Help us to be evangelists, Lord. Help us to be those that would seek those that are lost and give them the good news of the gospel. Lord, would you help us as a church? Would you help us to grow this year? Would you help us to be diligent students of the Word of God? Would you help us to discipline ourselves so that we might be mature and strong in our faith and might be able to withstand the evil one that so desires to sift us as wheat. Father, we pray that your grace would be upon us. Thank you for each and every day, Lord, that your mercies are new, for we are a people that need your mercy. We need your grace. We need forgiveness, Lord. And so we, even now as we come to this new year, we offer up ourselves to you. And Lord, we confess that we have at many times fallen short. So would you help us, Lord, to confess those sins? Would you help us to turn from those sins? And Lord, would you help us to, once we've confessed them and turn them over to you, would you help us to leave them back in 2022, not to take them into this year with us? Would you free us from the sins of the past, that we would not commit them in this year to come, that we would set this year apart as special and have a reverence for you and what your demands are upon our life. So Lord, help us to be holy as you are holy. Help us to seek you and to trust you with all of our hearts. And so we lift this time up to you, Lord, that you would challenge us and instruct us from your word, that your spirit would speak to us and mold us and shape us into the very likeness of Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Well, happy new year. It's good to be together with you on the first day of the year. And typically on a new year, we look to go forward, but we're going to go backwards just for a moment in the book of Hebrews. We're in chapter 11. We're going to go back to chapter 10, though, and we're going to use this passage here in chapter 10 to really focus for 2023. And my purpose today is to challenge you, but also to encourage you. I want to encourage you for 2023 that you would strive to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would desire to know him more and to make him known to people around you, and that you would desire to be found pleasing in his sight, that we would discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness, that we would become like Christ even more this year. And so in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, powerful passage. It really is the main passage that I chose for this theme for this year of encouraging one another. It was just something the Lord placed upon my heart last year toward the end of the year as we were getting ready for our elders retreat. And when I was able to get together with the guys for our retreat, was able to share with them some possible themes for this year. I mentioned this one here, and everybody felt like this would be appropriate for us. And so this year, we're going to focus on encouraging one another. And hopefully throughout this passage today and throughout this message today, you will find some ways in which you can encourage one another, that we can strengthen one another and build one another up for the kingdom of God. So listen to this passage, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. There it is. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Oh, I'm sorry. Encouraging, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day is drawing near. So that's the theme for this year, the idea of encouraging one another, building one another up, strengthening one another, pushing one another along, challenging one another. And if you're like me, and as Danny's mentioned too, at times there are lulls in our walk with the Lord, and there are times that we need to be challenged by one another in love, with grace, and patience, and mercy, right? But we need to, at times, we need to be held accountable for where we are, how we're walking with the Lord or how we're not walking with the Lord, to be challenged to grow in the Lord Jesus, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so my key thought today is simply this: corporate life in the family of God. Corporate life in the family of God. We are the family of God. If you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, we are family. We're not like family. We are family. And if you're like me, for years I had family members that were not saved, and I have still family members that are not saved, and people in the church that are my brothers and sisters in Christ are more family to me than my actual family. You are my family. We are the family of God. And this is a local body of believers. There are other Christians all over the world. They're a part of the family of God too, and we will meet them all one day, right? Every tribe and tongue and people and nation will be gathered together. But for this time, God has placed us together, and we are a family. We are the body of Christ. We're members of one another, of the body of Jesus Christ. And so I want to focus our attention. I'm going to give you numerous things here. I'm going to give you a key word, okay? And if you can, just write this word down, and after you can put one another. So when we think about this idea of corporate life and building one another up, encouraging one another, my first point would be this: love one another. That's really what it comes down to, is loving one another. And we know that we have to clarify what love is, right? Because love is misrepresented today. It's misunderstood. It's not defined properly. The examples are wrong. And if we wanted to get a definition, if you will, an example of what love is, or I should say a definition probably more accurately, we would go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right? Love is patient, love is kind, and we could go through the list of things of what love is and what love is not, right? Because love has can be defined on both sides as positive or negatively. When we think about the example of love, that we look to Christ. Christ is the perfect example of love. That's why when Paul is writing Ephesians, he used Christ as the example. Just as Christ loved the church, right? Husbands are to love their wives, right? Lay down your life for them. So love, this definition, or let me give you a definition of love, and it'd be the idea to have a warm regard for, an interest in another. Synonyms might be affection, or to cherish something. And even within the Bible, there's the idea that you can love things, but primarily love is a personal thing. It's love for God, God's love for us, and our love for one another. It's spoken of numerous times in the Bible that we are commanded to love one another. Love is also a litmus test for us. The Bible tells us if we don't love one another, if we don't love the brethren, then we're not a child of God. We don't know God. We can say that we know God, but if we don't see love for other people within the family of God, then we're not children of God. The love of God is not in us. Listen to this in John chapter 15. Jesus said, "This is my commandment." Did you get that? A commandment. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." That little word "as" is so important there. It could be an equal sign there. Jesus is saying, just as I have loved you to the same degree, in the same manner, you are to love one another. To what degree did Jesus Christ love us? With all that he had, didn't he? Did he hold anything back in his love for us? No. No amount of love was held back toward his sheep. He gave his life. He laid down his life for the sheep. And Jesus said, this is the commandment that I have. And we're to follow Jesus Christ. This is the commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you. John chapter 15, verse 13 goes on to say, greater love has no man or person than this. What? Than he lay down his life for a friend. Now, God may call us at some point to lay down our lives, literally lay down our lives at some point for somebody else. But ultimately, it's the idea that we're supposed to be willing to surrender our life on behalf of other people. Jesus did that, didn't he? He came not to be served, but to serve. He didn't come for people to die for him. He came to die for people. And Jesus says, once again, this is the commandment that I have, that you love one another just as, equal to in degree, similar to in manner, just as I have loved you. Paul says this in Romans chapter 12. Love one another with brotherly affection. Love that. Listen to this. Outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. It reminded me, and I'm going to show my age a little bit. It reminded me of the Looney Tunes cartoons. Yeah. Do you remember the Goofy Gophers? No, no, you please. No, 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 you please. No, you go first. No, you go first. That it comes to mind when I read that idea. Outdo one another in honoring one another. We're to be outdoing one another. Now, sometimes that looks false or it looks fake, doesn't it? But the intention is the idea that we pour ourselves out for one another, not looking for something in return, not to gain some kind of favor, not to monetarily benefit from that or materially benefit from that, but we pour ourselves out with genuine love. Christ did that for us. He outdid us, didn't he? He has and will always be the one that has outdone us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, this idea of loving one another. Beloved, if God so loved us, let me just stop there. If. Not if as in maybe he did, but literally it could be translated because of the way the Greek is since. It's a conditional statement. Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. How do we know when someone is a child of God? How do we know when the love of God is in somebody? When you see love coming out of them toward the brethren, especially toward the people of God. We are family. We're part of the family of God. And of all people on the earth, we should love one another. We should cherish one another. We should express our affection, our appreciation to one another, and encourage one another by loving one another with a genuine heart, just as Christ did us. Secondly, these all come from the original words in Greek. Consider one another. Consider one another. It means to have an interest in another, to have regard for others. Here it is, to be mindful. That's literally what the word means, to be mindful of others. Think of others. Think about others and what they're going through. We came in this morning and the elders were getting ready to pray for the service, and first thing that happened was like three things were mentioned about people that are suffering in our church. And we could have said, you know what, we don't have time for this right now. It's 10 minutes before the service. We don't have time for this. But it's about people that are suffering, right? It's having a mind for the people of God, thinking about others. Romans says this, Paul says this, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about looking out for the interests of other people. Considering others more important than ourselves, Paul would say. Or Romans chapter 14, verse 13. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never, never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. A stumbling block. We should never be looking to trip somebody up, to stick a foot out and cause them to stumble. We should never be trying to trap somebody that's a brother or sister in Christ, setting a trap for them. Nor should we ever try to put a hindrance in their way, an obstacle for them, to make it difficult for them. You know, we don't want to trip them as they're going by, and we don't want to put roadblocks up and say, you're not going to get the easy way. I'm going to make you go the hard way and suffer through this. I'm going to make you go through the hardship that I went through. I had to earn this the hard way, and you're going to earn it the hard way. No, that's not the idea of considering one another, looking out for one another. I recently was talking to a man that was very successful in business, and I said, do you feel threatened by anybody in your business? And he said, should I? I don't. He said, no. Should I though? I said, no, I don't think you should. I said, well, why don't you invest in some of these other guys that are in the same business and help them become successful? It took you years to get to where you are. Hard work, I know that. But maybe you help some of them take 5 years off of getting where they want to get to. Consider the other person. Look out for other people. Care for other people to the degree that you would want somebody to care for you. I remember that man in particular told me about a year back that he had a building that he was running out to somebody, and he gave them the option to buy it within a year. And the year came up and the year passed, and so, you know, they kept renting it, and that offer to buy it was, you know, expired. But they came to him about 18 months later and said, hey, you know, we weren't really in a position to be able to do it back when the year came up, but would you still consider that? And he said, you know what? We didn't have to do that, but I thought, I sure wish somebody would have done that for me when I was struggling. And so we did it. Listen, consider other people. Be mindful of other people. Be considerate of people's feelings. I know sometimes feelings are just feelings, right? And feelings are not our gauge. They're not the litmus test for us. They're not always right, are they? And we should never get into the place where we say, well, I don't know why I believe this. I just feel it. That's dangerous. But still, we need to consider people's feelings and recognize maybe I need to forego some things and have consideration to certain people. Not say certain things because they're not mature enough yet to handle that. They're not there yet. And so I want to be considerate of them, not put a roadblock in front of them, a stumbling block in front of them, or cause a difficulty for them. Paul writes in Corinthians chapter 10 of the second book of Corinthians, not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves to one another, they are without understanding. I love that passage. He's saying, listen, there are some that consider themselves and they say, you know what? Compared to other people, we're doing pretty good. You know, I read through the Bible twice this year. I didn't read through the Bible twice this year. But you could become haughty, right? Thinking, man, look at me in comparison to everybody else. Or we could get to the end of the year and say, you know what? I only read half the Bible. You know, but compared to so-and-so, they only read about a book or two. I did pretty good. Is that the right standard for us to use, other people? No. Christ is our standard, and the Word of God is our standard. We're not to compare ourselves with one another. We're not competing with one another. Let's clear that up. We are on the same team here. Yeah. We are not competing with one another. We are on the same team. And so let's not be comparing ourselves to one another as the standard, but let us look out and care for others and help people. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, listen to this. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. By the way, the one another's at least 150 one another's in the Bible. Numerous ones in the New Testament. And they point to this idea oftentimes of building one another up, the idea of our relationship of being in the family of God. He says, comfort one another. Interesting, isn't it? Agree with one another. Agree with one another? Does it mean I have to agree with you on everything? Obviously not, right? We can have differences of opinions. God has made variety, and variety is okay for the most part. Not in itself wrong, okay? But we can agree with one another on certain things, can't we? We can agree that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Yeah. We can agree that regardless of the color of our skin or the language that we speak, that God, if He has saved us by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are one together, joined together by Christ. We can agree on those things. We can live in peace with one another. And the God of love, he says, if we do these things, and the God of love and peace will be with you. There's a special presence of God that is with us when there's this idea of comforting one another, agreeing with one another, that's unity. Having peace with one another, showing love to one another, there's a special power of God that is upon his people when those things take place. So secondly, consider one another this year. How can I bless somebody? How can I help somebody? How can I feel their pain and comfort them during this time? Consider one another. Thirdly, honor one another. Honor one another. The manifestation of esteem, to honor, show reverence, show respect. Respect one another. We've talked a lot about that in different ways, that we should respect one another. Now listen, not the respect that the world looks for, just accept anything. Everything is a go, right? This is the idea, I think it starts at the core of the idea that we're made in the image of God. Human beings, again, we have a job, and an individual, I was talking to the individual, the owner, and I said, you know, I was thinking this last day, these guys, these 13 guys that have been framing this house, I thought about getting them some Bojangles or something like that, but every day they were bringing their own food, and I was like, I don't think they even like to eat out. They have 4 microwaves there, and so they cook every day. They were cooking with their little heat pots and everything like that, and I said, I don't even think they want Bojangles. I think they want their own food. He said, I've got something better. We're going to do something special for them. And I wrote him later on, I said, you know what, I appreciate you doing that because these guys oftentimes do a job and are not appreciated. They're only seen as workers. Barely, listen, I wrote this, barely respected as human beings. They don't speak our language. They don't even know how to speak English. What kind of people are those? People made in the image of God, right? Maybe just a personal conviction, and I stand here convicted about this so many times, and I pray maybe God will give me strength this year to do something about it. Maybe instead of saying, you know what, they don't even speak our language, maybe we should learn some of their language. Maybe we should, so that we could share the gospel, the love of God with them. Might be helpful. Honor one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Listen to this. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Interesting, isn't it? The hand doesn't say, that old stinky foot, put a sock on that guy. Yeah, you know? The foot doesn't say, you know, the hand, well, I sure wish he would tie these shoes that are on my feet. Yeah, the foot needs the hand needs the foot, right? On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. That's the opposite of the way the world looks, right? The world looks at those that are weak as dispensable. Who needs them? We just need them to do our duty, right? But God says they're indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, our human body, used as an illustration of the body of Christ, right? So we're going to take these illustrations here, this analogy here, we're going to apply it directly to the church. So when we're talking about the hand and the foot, we're talking about people within the church, that we're all different parts of this body. But God did this, first of all. We don't build a church. We didn't put this church together. It's not our church. It's God's church. And God so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. That's powerful. The foot and the hand, the eye and the ear and the nose, the hidden parts of the body, we all need each other, don't we? And we have those within the body of Christ here. We have some that are the mouth. We have some that are the eyes. We have some that are different parts of the body. And we all need each other. There are some parts that we don't even see, but they're behind the scenes working, aren't they? Keith Greer this morning, he's in the hospital. Why? Because that part we can't even see in his body is not functioning correctly, right? Yeah. So those hidden parts, those they become very important. Can't even see them. But man, when they show up, man, you recognize how important they are, don't you? Yeah. God has composed it in this manner so that the members may have the same care for one another. We don't give prominent care to the prominent parts, even though we do that many times with our human bodies, don't we? Yeah. We just put a sock on the foot and we say, no one's going to see my toenails. I'll go ahead and trim my fingernails though, right? I like that in the body of Christ, though, each similar care. If one member suffers, all suffer together. I love that because he's not saying if one member suffers, then all should suffer. No, if one member suffers, all do suffer. Yeah. So when you hear about Lori Packer breaking her ankle, you suffer a little inside, don't you? Yeah. When you hear about somebody that was bitten by a cat, and you recognize that she's going through difficulty and her husband's going through difficulty too. You suffer a little, right? You have compassion. You can feel that, right? Hopefully you can feel that. It's a sign of being a child of God and being a part of the body of Christ. Because if you are an individual that can just be an individual and other people in the church suffer and you don't feel anything, you may not be a part of the body of Christ. In other words, suffering with those that suffer is a sign of being a child of God. You care about people just as you would your own body. If your foot hurts, you don't say, I don't care about my foot. I don't care about my ears. No, you don't do that because it's your body. It's a part of your body. It's the same with the body of Christ. When people of Macedonia suffer, we suffer together. We hurt together. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Goes the other way too. It's a sign. If you know of somebody, I just recently ran into somebody in our church. He'll probably know who I'm talking about when I mention. And I heard that he was blessed. Yeah. And I know some people in my own life, when things like that have happened, I know there are times that I did not want to share certain blessings with people because I knew that they would be envious. Or they would say, why did he get that and I didn't get that? But instead, God put on my heart, God blessed you, man. I'm happy for you. God blessed you. And God will give me everything that I need in the perfect timing as well. Amen? We can be happy for other people, and it won't be at our expense. It's God that does these things. So rejoice with those who rejoice, and suffer with those that suffer. Honor one another. On a negative side, Galatians chapter 5, verse 26, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Prohibitions that God gives us, not to provoke one another, but honor one another. Not to be envious, but rejoice with one another. Honor one another. Next, serve one another. Serve. It's the same word that is used for slavery, which our current culture has tried to take out of the Bible, but it's all over the place. The Apostle Paul called him a slave of God, and he meant that in a good way. And I know some would say, how can that be in a good way? To be a servant of God, to be at the disposal of God. Just like the illustrations in the book of Leviticus, right? When a slave had a good master, he'd say, man, I don't want to leave. My master, he provides all that I need, all that I want. I'm staying with him. And he would commit his life and his family. Serve one another in 2023. Conduct oneself as one who is in total service to another. It's difficult for us Americans. It's difficult for us to serve because we like to be served. Yeah, we go to the restaurant and we like someone to wait on us, right? We don't think that we should have to stack our dishes up for that's their job, right? Serve one another, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love. There it is. Through love, serve one another. Not just out of obligation. I guess I got to go to church and serve people today. Not just out of obligation. Not just out of duty. I know it's the right thing to do. I should serve them. Not just out of obedience to God. But listen, he says, through love, serve one another. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 20. Jesus called his disciples to himself and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them. We understand what that is, don't we? Rulers lording it over people, letting people know who's in charge, right? You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. Did you get that? Not among us. It's not supposed to be. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. It's a biblical word. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Christ came to serve. We're to be like Christ. Now, he did not come to be served. He came to serve others. And so 2023 would be a good year for us to encourage one another by serving one another. Fifthly, several of these, hopefully they'll encourage you though. Bear one another. B-E-A-R. Bear. Not bear hug one another, but bear one another. To, listen, to regard with tolerance. To endure. Listen, to put up with. You got anybody in your life like that? Yeah. You ever look in the mirror at times and think, how long shall I be in this body of sin? Yeah. Bear one another. Each of us have our own unique aspects, don't we? Good and not so good. And sometimes it's okay, it's easy to bear one another. And sometimes it's difficult, isn't it? If you're married, you can nod your head and you can recognize there are times that you have been difficult to bear, right? Once again, I had a guy write me a couple weeks back. I gave him a call, and he said, you want another wife? And I said, what? He said, do you love your wife? I said, yeah, I love my wife. He goes, you want another one? I said, no, don't want another one. Why? He said, because mine's being mean to me right now. And he was on speaker, you know. And I said, well, you know, sometimes they're mean in response to what we've done, right? Yeah, have to be careful. Bear one another. Put up with one another. And we, once again, I think the longer you're together, there are certain things that can develop in your marriage that become difficult to bear. But it is a biblical principle to encourage one another by bearing with one another. It's a sign of love. Because we recognize when we bear with others that they're bearing with us, right? And I appreciate, as I think about that, and I look around, I appreciate over the last 10 years or whatever, 9 years now as a pastor here, I appreciate you bearing with me. I appreciate your patience. You understand? And I look back, and you may not see it, but I look back on my life and I constantly evaluate myself. I constantly try to improve myself. I know you may not see that, but I constantly struggle. I'm my worst critic. I guarantee you that. And I'm constantly trying to do better. And I look back at my life and I see over the last 9, 10, 11 years, and I would say, thank you for bearing with me. Please do it in the future. Yeah, it might be a long road, huh? Yeah. We bear with one another. We understand that we have weaknesses. We have faults, don't we? We have struggles. And so we empathize with one another. We show compassion and patience with one another. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called with all humility. and gentleness, with patience. Here it is. Bearing with one another in love. It's not just good enough to say, well, I'll bear with him because he bore with me. Yeah. I'll bear with them because I'm sure at some point I'll need them to bear with me. But we bear with one another because love. Because I love you more than what I have to bear for you. Does that make sense? Yeah. I don't know about you, but being married now 16 years, I remember the first few years, there would be times that they were difficult, obviously. Everybody deals with their difficulties as you grow together. And there would be times where I would think, I wonder if she's done with me now. I remember a guy at a previous church, and he said, yeah, for the first 5 years, I kept thinking she's going to leave me because she's going to get tired of me. And as you see, and you bear with one another over those years, you say, I know she really loves me. How do I know she loves me? She stayed with me. She put up with me, right? So bear with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Next, forgive one another. Listen to this. To graciously forgive a wrongdoing. To forgive, to pardon, let it go. Forgive. I know it is difficult sometimes to forget. I would say when you struggle with forgetting something, sometimes when you get older, you find it's a little easier to forget things involuntarily, right? But when you find those things coming back up of a wrongdoing that took place, it's another opportunity for you to forgive and say, you know what? I forgave and I forgive again. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, how? As the Lord has forgiven you. How has the Lord forgiven you? Graciously. Graciously. When did he forgive me? When did he cleanse me of my sin? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right? He didn't die for the righteous. He died for us sinners. And so just as he has forgiven us, we're to forgive one another. So the question has often been, well, I see within the Bible this idea that even if somebody doesn't ask me, I'm supposed to forgive them. But then I see another passage where it says, if your brother comes to you and asks for forgiveness, you know, seven times 70, then forgive them. Which one? Both. One, maybe for your own sake of mind, forgive people. Just say, you know what? I'm going to leave that with the Lord. I'm going to leave it with the Lord. I turn that over to the Lord. I forgive them. You may even want to tell them. They may not want to accept it. They may not want to even embrace it. They may not even appreciate it. But you may need to say to them, listen, I forgive you for those things. And I just want to let you know I'm done with it. I gave it to the Lord. But when your brother or sister comes to you and says, would you forgive me? You forgive them. Forgive them. Don't hold that against them. Don't pin them down with that. Don't bring it up before them all the time. But you say, yes, I forgive you. The Bible says you gain a brother or sister. Forgive one another. Forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must forgive. And above all, these put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Or Ephesians chapter 4, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Forgive one another. Forgive people. Maybe today you have someone in your life that has wronged you terribly. I would encourage you today, forgive them right here, right now. Just say, God, I give it to you. And maybe later today you need to call them and say, I have forgiven you. You do whatever you want. Take it however you want to. I just want you to know, I have forgiven you. There's no hardship here, no hard feelings, no roadblocks here. I have forgiven you. And give it to the Lord and find release. Next, care for one another. These are all biblical, one another pass in the passages of Scripture. To pay attention to look out for, to take notice, to show interest. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. You see that? Let each of you look not only to his own interests. Hey, take care of yourself, okay? God does want you to take care of yourself. And I say that, I recognize even the way I say that, I don't really like it, because God ultimately is the one that takes care of us. But he does want us to be responsible, amen? He does want us to take care of things that we need to take care of. Look out for your own interests, but also the interests of others. Consider other people. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He cares for us, right? Doesn't Peter tell us that he cares for us? Jesus Christ cares for us. Next, build up one another. Build up one another. God has put this on my heart, not just within the body of Christ, to try and encourage people and build people up, but just people that I run into. I'm just telling you, that's where I'm at. Yesterday, I went to the gun shop. Yes, I confess, I went to the gun shop yesterday. I didn't buy anything, okay? I didn't buy anything. But I talked, it's a gun shop in Lillington. I talked to the guy, he's the owner there. I've gotten to know him. I'm trying to build a relationship with him. I like the guy. And I've been trying to encourage him. I've given him a book on leadership. And he's actually reading it. Can you believe that? And he's actually using it in his business. Can you believe that? And I met with him yesterday, and every time I meet together with him, it's not about buying a gun. It's about how are you doing? And we went back to his office yesterday. He showed me his office with these guns that are hanging up, and we started talking, and we started talking about, I said, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Where do you want to be at? What are the things that you enjoy doing? And we talked about building people up. He said, man, I love to see people happy. I said, man, set yourself up so you can be free from the administration of this place and do your job with making people happy, seeing people happy. Build people up. I love it. Now, listen, to build people up, you have to have some good self-identity in Christ. The main reason a lot of people don't build other people up is because they're selfish or they're threatened by people. Listen, I've seen it in churches all through my life. Senior pastors, they keep the other pastors down low. I can't let him preach too much. They might like him more than me. Yeah, we know it goes on, don't we? And we see it within businesses. You may work at a place where people don't want to appreciate people or build people up because, well, what about my job security then? What would happen to me? If he looks good, they'll put him in my position. Oh, but the Bible teaches something differently, doesn't it? It says, build one another up to help improve the ability to function in living responsibly. That's what it means. To strengthen, to build up, to make more able. The elders of this church want to help make you more able to live the godly life. We want to help you grow. We want to encourage you to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might be strong and mature in your faith, and that you might share the gospel with other people. We want to build you up. Paul said, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We're in verse 14 in chapter 5. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle. Admonish the idle. If you're idle, if you look at your life and you say, I'm doing a lot of things, but not much for the kingdom of God, let me admonish you today to get in gear, right? Don't just sit there in idle, but put it in gear and do something for the kingdom of God. Admonish the idle. Encourage the faint-hearted. Man, that's where we need one another, right? There are some that are faint-hearted in our church, and we need to encourage them. Help the weak. We have some that are weak in our church, physically weak, spiritually weak, and we need to help them. Encourage them. Build them up. Be patient with all. Patience, that's tough, isn't it? Because we forget where we were 10, 15, 20 years ago. And we need to remember that somebody was patient with us. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. There it is. See that? Building one another up, discipling one another, challenging one another in a good way. Iron sharpening iron. That's a biblical principle, right? We're teaching one another. Listen, if you see something in the Word of God, you can come to me anytime and say, hey, Terry, I was reading this in the Bible and I saw this for the first time. I would love to hear that. I promise you. I promise you. I would love to hear that because it tells me a few things. One, it tells me that you're in the Word of God. And that is encouragement to me. Because if you're in the Word of God, God's speaking to you. He's giving you instruction. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Or Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, but exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Encourage one another, build one another up, challenge one another. He says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. This idea, build one another up. Next, two more. Confess to one another. Confess to one another. I try to do this because I've been at too many churches where the pastor seemed like he was flawless, acted as though they were flawless. Knowing some of those guys, I know their reasoning was, well, if I tell them my struggles, then what are they going to, they're not going to listen to me when I teach. Listen, we all know we're sinners, don't we? And we all struggle with things. And this passage in James really spoke to me yesterday when I was looking at it. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. It may be that you need to go to somebody and say, you know what, I've sinned against you. Confess your sins to one another. Tell somebody, hey, I made a mistake. Would you forgive me? Or it may be that you need an accountability partner. You're struggling with some aspect of life, whatever it could be. There are so many opportunities for struggles today. Pornography, lust, addictions all over the place. Plenty of opportunity. Maybe you need an accountability partner that you can go to them and say, listen, I fell short this week. I need you to pray for me. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Lastly, meet with one another. A gathering together in a location, an assembly. That's our passage. Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as the day is drawing near. Meeting together, opportunities, whether it be Sunday morning, whether it be Wednesday night, whether it be Sunday school, whether it be the idea of life group, or whether it be a game night or a prayer meeting, whatever it may be. Don't forsake the gathering together where we have the opportunity to encourage one another, build one another up, challenge one another, admonish. All these different things. Listen, Acts chapter 2, verse 46. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let me give you three challenges. Can I take just a moment to give you three challenges for 2023? It's going to do with diet, exercise, and commitment. Now, some of you are already scared. Diet. You know you need to adjust your diet. I need to adjust my diet. We went out to eat the other night, and I ate too large a steak, but it was too good. But everybody this time of year, New Year's resolutions, right? I get my diet right. I'm gonna eat the right foods. I'm going to adjust the quantities of food that I eat. I'm going to eat at the right time, all those different things. But let me give you a different kind of diet that you need to maintain. Maintain a steady diet of the Word of God. diet. Jesus said the Word of God was his food, to do the will of the Lord, and the Word nourished his body. To read, meditate, consider, and apply the Word of God to your life. If there is only one thing that I could tell you to do in 2023, it would be spend time in the Word of God. That would be the most important thing, because God can speak to you better than anybody else, and he does it all the time through his Word. So let me encourage you to read the Word of God systematically. Don't just do once a week, I'm going to read for 20 minutes, but read daily the Word of God. Let the Word of God dwell in your heart and take root in your minds and help it shape you, who you are as a person. Read, meditate. When you're driving around, think about the Word of God. The reason many of us don't meditate on the Word of God is we haven't read the Word of God enough. If you read the Word of God and you hide it in your heart, you'll find yourself meditating on the things of God. But consider the Word of God and apply the Word of God. Don't just read it to know it, like an intellectual thing, but read the Word of God so that you might apply it to your life. Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Diet. Change your diet. Adjust your diet. Exercise. Yeah, exercise. We all need to exercise, don't we? Yeah. Even some of us that work outside and work with our hands and our feet, we need to exercise. And everybody's about this time of year thinking about my new exercise routine, right? The gym memberships, they go sky high during this month, right? Yeah, they do. And I remember when I used to go to the gym, we work out at home now, for the first 2-3 months, gym was packed. Come fall, not so much, right? Yeah, exercise. Everybody's all about exercise, but let me give you a different kind of exercise for 2023. Exercise your spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines for godliness, not physique so much. I was thinking about it this way, because Timothy was told this by the Apostle Paul: have nothing to do with the irreverent, silly myths. Rather train, there it is, exercise. Train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, there is some good to bodily exercise, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the future life to come. So, believe it or not, I used to be able to bench 350 pounds. Now, if I did that, I would be in the hospital this week. Yeah, I would definitely want to have 2 spotters if I even tried that today, right? In fact, maybe a couple years back, I can't remember exactly when it was, for some reason, I chose that day. I had not been benching very, very much. I chose that day to try 300 pounds. I was like, I used to do 300, no problem. And for the next 6 months, I couldn't even hardly go like that with my arm. Why? Because I overdid it, right? Bodily exercise can be a profit, can be damaging too. But godliness is something that lasts for a lifetime. Train yourself for godliness. Be ye holy, God says, for I am holy. Discipline yourself. Discipline yourself for godliness. Ask yourself the question, what can I do today to grow closer to God? What can I do today to shape myself more like Jesus Christ? Discipline yourself. Commitment. Everybody's, devotion. You gotta make a commitment for the new year, right? Got to get serious, got to get devoted, got to get disciplined, but let me give you a different kind of commitment. Commit yourself to the Lord in 2023. Commit yourself. Listen to the Psalms. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. I find myself, the older I get, for some reason, maybe it's because I'm getting older that I recognize over the years I've learned I really can't do anything apart from God. Yeah, I really can't. And I find myself saying, God, if you want, you'll do it. I commit it to the Lord. Lord, I've done my part. I've done what you've told me to do. Now I give it to you, Lord. You know, I think of some of you with your children, where they are with the Lord. You do what you can as a parent, but ultimately you have to say, God, I give them to you. They're his anyways, right? But it's us turning it over, saying, God, I commit myself to you. It's in your hands. God will act. I love that. God will perform his purposes. He will. Luke 9:23, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him or her deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Let us in this year take up our cross daily and follow Christ. Amen. Thinking of that, in Acts chapter, you know, I love the book of Acts. We looked at this numerous times. But in the book of Acts, we see this idea of them devoting themselves to one another. Let me just read this passage in Acts, and then we're going to have the deacons come. We're going to go through the Lord's Supper and celebrate this together in the time that we have. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. That's gathering together, right? They didn't forsake the meeting together. And to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came over every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple, day by day, daily things here. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. We're going to break bread together today to remind ourselves that we're a part of the family of God because of what Christ has done. We've been made members of one another through the broken body of Christ and the shed blood of Jesus. So I'm going to ask our deacons to come if they would, please, and prepare the table. And would ask you, as we think about these challenges for 2023, maybe you look at 2022 and you say, you know what, I fell so short. I fell so short in these areas. Maybe some areas where you even would say, you know, I've got sin I need to deal with in my life. Maybe as we pray, even now, preparing ourselves for the table, maybe God would show you something that you need to confess to him. Repent of your sin and turn that over to him. Ask for cleansing before we partake of the Lord's Supper. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your grace, your patience with us. And Lord, we do recognize that we're saved by grace through faith, and that's not of ourselves. It's the precious gift of God. And so we thank you, Lord, for your great gift of Jesus Christ. We thank you for his broken body, his shed blood. We thank you for the remission of sins, the new covenant brought forth through his body. I pray, Father, that you would help us to remember today our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, the great privilege that it is to be called children of God, and Lord, the great responsibility that is ours as well. And so we commit ourselves to you. We pray that you would help us, Lord, to walk in a manner that is worthy of our calling, that you'd help us to be pleasing in all that we do, that we would love one another and we'd love you, just as the great commandment, the idea of loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbors as ourselves. Help us to be responsible with that, Lord. And so, Lord, we lift this time up to you for your glory, and we ask this in Christ's name.